So childcare has been top of mind for me on a personal level and as a policymaker for a while now. And so when I learned about the childcare deserts that we have, one of the policies I brought forward was how can we make it easier to build childcare centers?
Love it.
And it was actually easier to develop a dog park than build a childcare center.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com. Welcome to Austin Hires Local, your inside access to the work behind workforce development, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. Join us as we dive deep into conversations with trailblazers across the local, state, and national workforce development ecosystem. From elected officials to industry leaders and educators, we uncover candid insights and innovative solutions shaping our workforce landscape. Get ready to explore the intersection of education, economy, and opportunity. This is Austin Hires Local, where the future of our workforce begins.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Austin Hires Local. My name is Tamara Atkinson, and I have the honor of serving as the CEO of Workforce Solutions Capital Area. And it is my distinct pleasure to be joined today by my friend and our council member from District 2, Vanessa Fuentes. And I'm excited today to talk to you about childcare, transportation, housing affordability, and even mental health. These are issues that I know are important to you. So thank you for being here today to share your wisdom and your vision for Austin.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So council member, one of the ways I always like to open our podcasts is to ask you about work, because we are Workforce Solutions after all. So I'm wondering if you would be willing to share with us, what was your first job and what did you learn from it?
Oh, gosh. Okay. I love icebreakers, let me tell you. I always struggle with them. I'm the worst at remembering these things. So I grew up in a small town called Brady.
Okay.
It is population 5,000. Kind of our claim to fame is that we are the geographical center of Texas.
Okay.
But for us, our big cell phone provider was West Central Wireless. And my first job was at 15, and it was working at West Central Wireless.
Okay.
Being a file clerk. And so back then, believe it or not, this is to the Gen Zers who might happen upon this podcast, we would have printed files. I mean, these were like huge, big file cabinets in which I would have to go and literally file people's cell phone account records and whatnot. And it's you know, I love being a millennial because I still have a lot of that. You know, I can remember a time before the cell phone. So that was my first job, file clerk at our local cell phone company.
And so what did you learn from that job?
I learned about customer service, organization skills. Both of these skills have served me well as a policymaker.
There you go. Everything happens for a reason, right?
Yes. Yeah. No, I mean, it was, I come from a working class family. My dad's an electrician. My mom works at a grocery store. Actually, she just retired, so now she's a retiree. But for me, working at West Central Wireless was being in this more white-collar setting was very different and unique. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I just learned a lot in general at that workplace.
I like that. So you were just giving the example of what you learned being in a workplace. It sounds like learning skills that are serving you today. I know one of the things that you're really interested in is supporting young people and employment opportunities, including summer employment opportunities. That's also, these programs are intended to give young people an opportunity to build skills that carry them forward. Maybe can you talk a little bit about what should people know about what Austin's doing when it comes to summer employment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just like my own story, you know, because I got exposed very early on to a different type of workplace than my upbringing, it set me up on a different pathway in life. It helped me become a first generation college graduate and ultimately be in this life of public service. And so I wholeheartedly believe in investing in our youth and ensuring that we have programs and and exposure available to our youth. And so I often think about, you know, what more can we and should we be doing as a city, and have been a big proponent of the city's summer youth employment program, where we hire our local youth from all different school districts, and they can get internships at the City of Austin, different departments, including yours truly, my District 2 office. We've had yeah. interns every summer. And so that's been a really great program that we've had available. But I also look at, you know, what are ways that we can connect our youth that are in our high schools
okay.
to potential career pathways. And in particular, especially with the airport being in D2, I have seen some really great partnership between the airport, the airlines, with Del Valle ISD.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they've really brought in incredible programming where they're bringing the kids in. They can learn about the airport, what it takes to maintain and operate the airport, all the different career pathways. So that's been really great. Tesla has been a really good partner with Del Valle ISD. They have even donated, you know, manufacturing parts to the school district, in which students get hands-on learning as part of their curriculum. So there's some really incredible synergy between our youth and some of our big companies in town.
Well, it strikes me as you're giving all these examples that the young people in your district have a lot of opportunities, and I would think is a lot of competition for their talent, right? It sounds like airlines would love to hire them. Mm-hmm. Tesla would love to hire them. That's a real testament to your leadership and the way your district is growing. If you could like wave your magic wand, is there an industry or maybe you don't want to name an employer, but an industry or some other sector that you would love to see come to your district and also help your constituents? Okay, you have an answer.
Let me tell you, I would love to get grocery store retailers more involved in my area, particularly in the Del Valle. They have been long time fighting for a grocer to come in. This is an area that's been rapidly growing. And so I've even been exploring the issue overall as a grocery store co-op opportunity too. So really having it be community led. But aside from the intersection of food access, I think another big area is just healthcare in general. In Austin, we don't have a full service hospital east of 35, which is where a lot of our communities of color live. And we're just now opening our first health clinic later this year. So having more healthcare infrastructure would be wonderful for us in Southeast.
Okay, so anyone listening or watching this who is in the grocery, food, healthcare industry, listen up. The council member would like to talk to you.
Yes, please call my office.
Council member, Workforce Solutions really stands for supporting and connecting local people to local jobs. And our strategic plan is called the Hire Local Plan. And not to confuse you or anyone else, but the name of this podcast is Austin Hires Local. So when you hear any of those, Hire Local, Austin Hires Local, what does that mean to you in the context of being a leader in our city council?
Investing in our people.
Love it.
Austin really has this ethos about being local, supporting local, shopping local.
Mm-hmm.
Hiring local, all of that to me just goes back to the spirit of Austin. We pride ourselves on local restaurants and local artists, and that to me is part of the spirit of our community. So when I think about the name of this podcast, that's what I think about.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. I'd really like to talk to you about childcare. Childcare is getting a lot of attention now in our community. For a number of reasons. And I think also in the national landscape, there's a lot of leaders talking about childcare. Can you talk to me about why childcare is important to you and what you're seeing in your district and maybe what you're hoping the city will do or the city has done around supporting childcare?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so one thing a lot of Austinites don't know is that we have 30 childcare deserts throughout our city.
I didn't know we had that many.
Yes, it's a lot. I mean, so truly for many of our areas, and particularly the area that I serve in South Austin and Southeast Austin, it is really hard to find high quality, affordable childcare.
Mm.
And when we took a look at, okay, how can we better address affordability? You know, we often talk about affordability through housing and transportation costs, but one thing that often gets missed is childcare.
Yes.
And I started hearing from families in my district about the prices. And these prices are really, really outrageous. I mean, we're talking $1,200 for one child.
Oh, wow.
And for working families, when you have multiple children and you don't have a place nearby, it makes it harder for women to stay in the workforce.
Sure.
For us to have the people we need to work the jobs that we know are helping build Austin and create Austin, Austin that we love. So childcare has been top of mind for me on a personal level and as a policymaker for a while now. And so when I learned about the childcare deserts that we have, one of the policies I brought forward was how can we make it easier to build childcare centers?
Love it.
And it was actually easier to develop a dog park than build a childcare center.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It would be $20,000 just to go through the rezoning process, even before you broke ground. And so we really want to incentivize childcare operators to set up shop, particularly in underserved area. And what I'm hoping by all the investments that we've done in the city, including exempting childcare centers from the city's property tax, you know, waiving certain fees, by spurring the development of childcare centers, we're going to have more options for families. And by having more options available, we are going to ensure that we have the workforce that we need here in our community.
I love that. So since you've been championing these policies and these initiatives, have you been hearing from families in your district? What are they saying to you about this?
Yeah. So, you know, kind of the area that goes often overlooked or not really talked about is home-based childcare providers.
Okay.
And particularly in Latino families, you often have your abuela or your mother-in-law taking care of your children, and then not only your children, but the neighborhood, the block's children, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I hear from my families is, you know, how can we better support our home-based providers? And, you know, where can I go for help? And so people don't know about our wonderful partnerships that we have with partners like Texas Workforce Solutions through our city programs. We are actively investing in our workforce by providing financial assistance.
I love that.
Sometimes it's just about letting people know where to go, where to turn to, and how to get help.
I love that you say that, and thank you for referencing us, because the city has been a longtime funder of childcare with Workforce Solutions. So thank you for that. So through that partnership and your investments, we've been able to increase access to quality childcare providers. And I love that you talked about family home providers. Mm-hmm. And so since you talked about family homes and houses,
yes,
maybe talk a little bit about housing, because oftentimes childcare, yes, is one of the most expenses for families, and it impacts affordability. But what about housing? What are you hearing about housing? And do you have any policies or anything you've done to support more affordable housing, housing development, access to housing?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. My time serving on council these last 4 years has been all about housing, housing. And truly, because that has been the largest cost driver for many of our families. And I'm really pleased to see that we are now seeing rent prices decrease. Home prices are also decreasing, which is all a good thing, because we've been really focused on land use reform, you know, making it easier to build housing of all types all throughout our city. One program that I'm really proud to have championed is the Displacement Prevention Community Navigator Program.
Okay.
And what this—
Displacement Prevention Navigator Program. Okay.
All yes. Right. And this is all about bringing city resources into the neighborhoods that are most vulnerable, most at risk of displacement. Because, you know, as I mentioned earlier about just, you know, having people know about the different programs available, it really is the same for housing. So the city invests in having renter assistance programs. We have a down payment assistance program. We have these services and programs available, but folks don't know about it. Yeah. So what is the best way that we can bring this information to the people than by hiring individuals from the areas most at risk, equipping them and training them with the information needed, and then they go door to door. You know, they're set up at the fairs, at the community events, and they're providing the information in person in a language that our community understands and connecting them to the resources. So I'm really happy with that program, and we have it in Dove Springs and in Colony Park.
So I have an idea for you on that. I wonder if you might be open to having your navigators be trained on workforce resources that would be available, because what I'm thinking, council member, is if a family feels vulnerable about being displaced due to economic reasons, perhaps they could benefit from some job assistance, some training assistance, even some career advice.
Absolutely.
What do you think of that?
I love it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Look, this a deal's made right here in this podcast. Mm-hmm. I really like that. So let's talk a little bit also about transportation. And transportation, if Austinites are going to complain about anything, mm-hmm. they're going to complain about housing affordability, but they're also going to complain about transportation and congestion and even how long it takes to get between places. And while people can complain about things, we know as two leaders that really care about supporting workers in our community, what are you hearing from your constituents about transportation and how it impacts their ability to accept a job, look for jobs, even get job training?
Yeah, you know, what I have found is kind of the big theme around transportation from working families is that people want options. You know, mm-hmm. they want to have a choice in how they get to their job, to wherever they recreate, however they enjoy.
So they don't just want a bus pass,
right?
They want to be able to customize it to their personal needs.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
And the reality is, in Austin, there's not a lot of choices. You know, mm-hmm. We have invested heavily these last few years, but we're not there yet. But we are at least moving in the right direction. And mm-hmm. so having a new light rail line come through our mm-hmm. city is going to mm-hmm. be huge. But one particular thing that stuck out to me is even, the airport's located in my district, in District 2.
That's right.
And a lot of the families in my area work at the airport. And they're talking to me about wanting to have better bus connectivity to the airport and, you know, wanting to have more options. And so we, of course, connected them really quickly to Cat Metro, and we're working on something. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. but I really do think it's about having options available.
What excites you as you think about the future, what Austin is embarking on when it comes to transportation and these innovations? Like what excites you about what's on the horizon for Austin and addressing more of these transportation issues?
Well, I think we are in, and I know y'all had the mayor on as a previous guest, and I'm sure he talked about this, but I really do think we are in this infrastructure golden age, where mm-hmm. we are bringing a lot of new infrastructure projects into our region, mm-hmm. $25 billion worth.
Yes.
Including the expansion of the airport. We're basically going to double the size of our airport. We're also going to renovate I-35 and then light rail, as I mentioned earlier. And so when I think about the future of our city and what's to come, it truly is these huge infrastructure investments. But what we know is that we don't have the workforce needed
That's right.
to deliver on these investments. And so I'm really looking at, you know, how can we better ensure that we're upskilling, that we're investing and really cultivating a pipeline. And so I guess we'll have more to say on that a little later.
I love it. Thank you. Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com.
So you were just talking about the Infrastructure Academy. I want to thank you for your support. Back in March, the City Council unanimously passed a resolution creating mm-hmm. Austin's first Infrastructure Academy. Workforce Solutions is so excited to be the city's partner in the implementation of that. As you know, we conducted the research along with our partner Civic Soul that really created the data framework that I think led to City Council recognizing the need to have an academy. So thank you for that. And I noticed that in the city manager's base budget, there is money that, if approved by City Council, would go to actually funding this Austin's First Infrastructure Academy. So mm-hmm. when you think about the money that could go into the Infrastructure Academy, like, what are you hoping that Austin will get in exchange for this tremendous investment?
Absolutely. Well, I will say part of why I'm so excited about the Infrastructure Academy is that Austin really is poised to lead on this issue like no other city.
And oh, wow.
I can say this confidently because I'm very involved in organizations. I'm involved in the National League of Cities and Local Progress, organizations that are focused on or geared towards elected officials exchanging ideas. You know, we're facing similar challenges. So it's great to have that space where we're talking about the issues together. And when I bring up the Infrastructure Academy, 9 times out of 10, there are people who want, tell me more. I want to learn more.
Oh, wow.
You know, and it's because it makes so much sense that cities are really approaching our challenges, particularly from a workforce development lens, but also from an infrastructure lens, in this manner. I mean, it really is incredible leadership, and kudos to Mayor Watson for his leadership on it. And I'm thrilled that y'all are partners with it, with us. What I think is incredibly important with the Infrastructure Academy is the airport expansion, because the airport expansion is
happening. It just happens to be in your district.
It just happens to be in my district, and it's underway right now. You know, it is, in fact, it's long overdue in some cases. And so that the airport expansion is poised to be kind of the first project in mm-hmm. which we can really start implementing the strategies that get developed as part of the Infrastructure Academy with our airport and the needs that we have with the construction and development. So I'm excited to see that move forward. I'm thrilled that it has the necessary funding to move forward. But most importantly, it's an incredible program because it's all about investing in our people mm-hmm. and working with our Austin Community College, which is mm-hmm. also doing some really innovative things right now. And we're really a leader in this area.
I love that. I love what you said about investing in our people, because I really think that that's a big part of what the Infrastructure Academy wants to do. And I love that you mentioned the airport, because I think in a lot of ways, the airport project and the Infrastructure Academy tie in, if I can say so. It seems like it ties in several of your priorities mm-hmm. because it's really about establishing transportation, right? I mean, it's air travel, but as you talked about, also when we can get light rail and bus service to the airport and make it easier even for the workers to get there. And then with the Infrastructure Academy, in the resolution that City Council passed, it calls out establishing childcare as part of that. So hopefully that'll also go to addressing some of those 30 childcare deserts you talked about that Austin has. Mm-hmm. So thank you for your support of that. And I agree with you. As a workforce professional, when I talk to my peers, there are not many communities around the country that are embracing growing our own workforce to address infrastructure projects the way Austin is. So thank you for your leadership and for your fellow council members and, of course, the mayor for really having a vision for how we can make Austin better. I really, really love that and love to see what we continue to do there.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's an incredible time to be an Austinite. I mean, our city is undergoing some massive transformations. And
sure.
So it's going to be exciting to see how it all shakes out.
I think you're right. Well, since we're talking about workforce, let's talk a little bit about what is happening in the workforce. Of course, at Workforce Solutions, we track trends every day, and we're talking to job seekers and employers, but you also have employers and workers who are talking to you from your district and around the city. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any changes in the workplace, and what trends are you observing and are mm-hmm. you thinking about as a leader when it comes to the way people work, where they work, anything about their work?
Mm. Well, I think the pandemic really accelerated or shifted the the workplace into more remote and to more hybrid, flexible workplace scheduling. In a lot of ways, that's been really great. I think it's really shown and demonstrated that as long as you have the right resources and training in place, you can do most work from anywhere. But there are, it also, to me, at the same time, has highlighted a disparity amongst workers who don't have a choice, who have to show up day in and day out. I'm talking about our first responders, people who work out in the field, on construction sites, you know, individuals that help keep our city running. So I do think it's important that we continue to have adequate supports in place, especially with the shift in the average workplace. But probably the other thing that I've noticed a lot about is mental health. And that's the other thing that the pandemic really honed in is the importance that we have strong supports when it comes to mental health. And I got to work with you, Tamara, on a good initiative through the Community Advancement Network around the mental health first aid training, where we were equipping Austinites with the skills needed to recognize and respond to situations where either a neighbor or a coworker is experiencing a mental health crisis. And so very proud that we were able to train 1,000 Austinites.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I love that you set a goal. I mean, I think that we could have easily said, let's do this, but you set a goal. And I love that in each meeting, you had a little thermometer to
see
how close were we getting. So that's leadership. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. No, I appreciate that. And truly, I mean, it really is, you know, how can we better support our workforce? And I think it is going to be employers investing in their employees through mental health, through any type of PTO days for mental health or just counseling, therapy, really encouraging physical activity, all the different ways.
So I'd like you to imagine next year, this time next year, what does success look like for you? What policy have you been able to advance? What policy have you been able to convince your fellow council members that is a good idea? Like, what is a one signature issue that you would be really proud if you can advance it by this time next year?
Childcare.
We're going to where we started, right?
I mean, you know, I'm really excited to see what's happening at Travis County.
Okay.
I know that Workforce Solution knows better than most about all the families we have on our wait list who—
Over 5,000, council member. Did you know that? The current 5,000. Is over 5,000. We're telling families between 18 and 24 months. Mm. But if there's additional money that comes in, we can shorten that.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, there you go. I mean, that really highlights the level of the need that we have in our community. And with what Travis County is poised to put forward to the voters of Austin, I think we could really do something innovative, something bold, but most importantly, something that is desperately needed for our working families. And so by investing in our childcare system and really creating an ecosystem that better supports our families, we're going to be doing something incredible and making progress.
Well, Workforce Solutions is really excited to partner with the city, with the county, with all of our leaders in the community that care about childcare, if and when that passes. As the community's largest provider of subsidized childcare, we're just really excited to, at the thought of seeing there be increased access to serve these families that we know are in need. And it strikes me that your number one success win would address some of these other issues you've brought up, probably help address mental health in some of the customers who may be struggling with affordability issues and having that impact them, but just also help us be able to have people able to go to work and fill the jobs that we know Austin's creating. You talked about Austin being a great place to live these days, and we know we're creating a lot of jobs, but we're going to need the workers too and all of that.
Yes.
So,
love it.
Well, council member, is there anything I haven't asked you about that you would love to tell the podcast viewers and listeners at Workforce Solutions?
I wouldn't be a good council member if I didn't encourage everyone to get involved, to get informed on the issues. There's certainly going to be a lot of community conversations that we'll be having, a lot of propositions on the ballot, you know, from candidates to city propositions. So certainly, you know, stay informed, stay engaged, and most importantly, vote.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Well, council member, thank you so much for being here with me today. Thank you for being such a supporter of Workforce Solutions. What I've heard you say today, the number one thing that you said top line is that we invest in our people, that we invest in growing our own. And I love that. And thank you for carrying that message. I heard you say today that childcare is your number one issue, as well as what success could look like a year from now is being able to really advance childcare access. I heard you talk about housing affordability. I heard you talk about transportation. I heard you talk about your excitement about all the infrastructure projects, particularly happening in District 2 where you are. I saw your face light up as you talked about the young people in your district and all the opportunities they have through Del Valle ISD to possibly get jobs with airlines and Tesla and all the other employers. And I just really appreciate your enthusiasm for Austin, hiring local, being local, doing local. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Austin Hires Local, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. To learn more about what you heard today or to see what Workforce Solutions Capital Area can do for you, visit WFSCapitalArea.com. To stay updated on new episodes, subscribe to Austin Hires Local on your podcast app of choice. Until next time.